But we begin tonight's program, I'm very happy to say, with Sue Udry. She's Executive Director of the Defending Dissent Foundation and Acting Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. And we've invited Sue here to talk about the recent passage in signing into law of the USA Patriot Act and some of the concern that many civil liberties groups and activists all across the country have about this USA Patriot Act and what it does and doesn't do. Sue, so glad you could join us tonight. Thanks so much.
I am very glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So as we begin, we have talked quite a bit about NSA surveillance, both before and after Edward Snowden's revelations. But as we begin, maybe you can define for our audience Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act and what the USA Freedom Act passed by Congress and signed into law by President Obama does and does not do to reform NSA surveillance phone programs.
Sure. Well, the Section 215 of the Patriot Act allows the FBI and the NSA by proxy of the FBI to collect in bulk, as it turns out, any tangible thing is the term that they use in the legislation. Any tangible thing that a business may have about you. So that could be your phone records, as we've seen in the NSA phone program, but it could also be your doctor's records, your credit record, your bank history, any information that a third party could be holding about you. So there had always been the ability for law enforcement to get your records, but the Patriot Act loosened the requirement that and said it had to be relevant to an investigation involving a foreign terror organization. And then the way the NSA and the FBI and the whole Department of Justice decided to define the term relevant was basically it exists, therefore it is relevant. So that's what Section 215 did. Basically, Congress didn't intend it to mean everything, but the Department of Justice, NSA, and FBI decided that that's what it meant. So USA Freedom Act was an effort to restrict the amount of records that the FBI and therefore the NSA could get. And it's important to note that the USA Freedom Act addresses not just Section 215, but it also talks about national security letters, which are a favorite way that the FBI was getting information about people who it didn't necessarily suspect of being involved in criminal activity. And also the pen register trap and trace provisions, which are another way that law enforcement gets our phone records, basically. So the USA Freedom Act said that no longer will the NSA be able to just get every single phone record from Verizon. It's going to have to actually narrow it down a bit and just ask Verizon about certain records that they say have to do with a terror investigation. So it means the records will be, your phone records will be kept with the phone company, which is where they ordinarily are kept, and that the NSA has to identify some reason why they want to get a particular set of records. So it is a bit of a restriction. It's not nearly as strong as we want. But there were a lot of other things that advocates were speaking in order to reform not just the NSA's bulk collection, but also the way the FISA court operates and a few other transparency issues. So I can go into that, but I feel like I'm talking a lot already, Scott.
No. Well, thanks for that, Sue. Yeah, I was going to go right on to the FISA court. Explain to our audience, if you would, the changes that we saw, if any, in the USA Freedom Act in the way that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court operates in approving government warrants for phone metadata. Many critics have accused the FISA court of acting as a rubber stamp, with really virtually no government requests having been denied.
Correct. First, let me correct one term that you used so that the lawyers would get very angry at us for using. The FISA court does not issue warrants. They issue orders, because the standard for a warrant is that you need to have probable cause, some reasonable suspicion that the property that you're searching, that the person whose property you're searching has actually has a connection to a crime. And the FISA court does not need that standard of evidence. So it's interesting, because the FISA court was put into place as a reform measure back in the 70s, after we discovered that the CIA was spying all over the place. So Congress said, well, let's have this court to make sure that the CIA, that the intelligence agencies aren't going crazy and spying on Americans. So, as often happens in America and I guess the world, something that's instituted as a reform pretty quickly and pretty easily gets subverted by the intelligence agencies. And so the FBI and Department of Justice would go to FISA and say, hey, look, we need these records. They're relevant to a terror investigation. And the FISA court, was basically rubber stamping. They were only hearing the government side of the story. And, of course, after 9/11, they were bending over backwards to give intelligence agencies any authority that they wanted in the, just to, quote, keep the country safe. So what the USA Freedom Act does is it creates a team of lawyers who have security clearance, who the FISA court can ask if the government is presenting some novel interpretation of the law. The FISA court can turn to this team of lawyers and say, hey, can one of you come and argue the other side of this and give us the point of view from the privacy and civil liberty point of view? So that's an amicus that will argue our side before the FISA court, if the FISA court asks for it. So that's an improvement. It's not what we wanted. We wanted to have a privacy and civil liberties person there arguing every case in front of the FISA court, but we got this this kind of watered down version of it instead. Senator McConnell tried to get rid of it altogether, but he failed. So that's a good thing, I guess.
We're speaking with Sue Udry, Executive Director of the Defending Dissent Foundation and Acting Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. And if I'm correct, I think those two organizations are soon to merge. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So then we can be the Bill of Rights Defense Committee Defending Dissent Foundation, because...
And have a really long name.
Names.
The acronym, half the alphabet, right?
Right, right. We'll have a contest for people to give us a new name.
Sue, given the fact that many civil liberties activists around the country are dissatisfied with what the USA Patriot Act did not feature in the legislation, what is the reform agenda now? What are some of the things that you and your organization and allies will be focused on? And I've been reading about Section 702 of the FISA Amendment Act and something called Executive Order 12333.
Right. There are so many different authorities that the intelligence agencies are using to kind of circumvent the Fourth Amendment that we need to look at those two in particular. Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act is really the NSA is allowed to and supposed to go look around the world outside of U.S. borders and see if there are any threats. And what they're doing is scooping up all sorts of internet communications. And they're allowed to do that. Our Constitution doesn't protect people outside of our borders. But in the process of scooping up all this these communications and data on the internet, the NSA is, quote, inadvertently also scooping up the communications and data of U.S. persons. And right now, U.S. intelligence agencies and law enforcement are allowed to query all the data that the NSA collects and find and get information about U.S. persons. And so what the civil liberties community writ large wants to do is close that back door. It's called the back door because it's kind of a backdoor way for law enforcement to get at data that they don't have a legal right to see. So that's a really big one. And, you know, actually what's top on our agenda is to even understand what are all the mass surveillance programs or all the surveillance programs that don't conform to the Fourth Amendment that U.S. intelligence and law enforcement agencies are using. We don't even know. And you know, and we keep getting trickles of information coming out. So what we're demanding is a new church committee, that Congress actually stop and take an audit, really, of all the surveillance programs that are going on inside the country so that they can get a handle on what effect this is having on our privacy and our civil liberties.
So, Udry, not all that long ago, just before the key portions of the USA Patriot Act were about to expire, the Second Circuit Federal Court ruled that Section 215 in the surveillance we've been talking about was unauthorized, illegal. They did not rule it was unconstitutional, but I think that led many in Congress and around the country to really think hard about the revelations that Edward Snowden made and why he made them. Do you feel the process we've seen unfold, both in terms of public debate and laws passed in Congress, including this USA Freedom Act, is a vindication of Edward Snowden and his decision to release this heretofore secret material?
Well, absolutely. I think it's without Edward Snowden, we would not have had this debate. Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act has sunset every 2 years since it was first passed, and so Congress has had to reauthorize it 7 times already, and every time that they go to reauthorize it, you know, civil liberties groups say, no, we don't know what's going on with this. It's way too broad. You can't reauthorize it. But they go ahead and reauthorize it anyway. And so after the Snowden revelations, well, we knew what we could point to evidence that the law was being abused. And people from across the political spectrum, across the country, weighed in, and we had massive outpouring, especially in the last 2 weeks, of emails and phone calls and letters going into Congress demanding that Section 215 not be just reauthorized. And some groups were calling for USA Freedom as a first step toward reform, and other groups like ours were saying, no, let's just sunset 215 and let's not pass USA Freedom. But nonetheless, it was an actual debate, which hasn't really happened before. So, yes, a huge vindication of Snowden.
Well, maybe he'll be able to come back to this country at some point and really sort of, you know, enjoy what he did. I think many people view him as a hero, some as a villain, but obviously he's had a huge impact on our debate on civil liberties versus security. Sue, as a final question here, I wanted to ask you, it seems we've witnessed a shift in public opinion after 9/11 when it comes to these government programs that surveil Americans' communications. There are many people like Mitch McConnell, leader of the U.S. Senate, Republican leader of the U.S. Senate, who, you know, staunchly opposed to any reforms, but yet it seems public opinion is moving in the direction of those who say the emergency is over. Let's get back to our constitutional norms. Ben Franklin famously said, those who would sacrifice liberty for security deserve neither. I'm wondering how you think, how far you think public opinion has shifted. And there's probably a bunch of different public opinion polls, but what's your take on it?
Right. Well, the polls that I've seen have indicated that, yes, most Americans don't want this broad vacuuming up of our data, even if it's just our, quote, just our metadata. People understand that that's important. And I think that from what I've heard of from people who have done polling and interpreted the polls, that there's actually is a interesting generational divide, and that younger people are even more concerned about privacy than older people. So I think that bodes well. I think that the more we're able to tell the story of the vast number of programs where law enforcement is without a warrant, without any suspicion that you've done anything wrong, is peeping into your life, and even if you haven't done anything wrong, it's still an affront to your rights and to the Constitution. So I think public opinion is definitely tilted now in favor of privacy, and I think it's up to advocacy groups and your show to remind people why that's so important, both on a personal level and a societal level.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could join us tonight, because I think a lot of the press coverage of the USA Patriot Act pretty much basically said, oh, the problem's solved, you know, the reform succeeded in Congress, President Obama signed it into law, and it's all over. But obviously, from our discussion, and I'm sure what myself and listeners have been reading, there's a lot more to tackle here in terms of abuses of power and surveillance. So we'll definitely stay in touch, Sue. Thanks so much for making time. And do leave our listeners with a web address for your groups.
Okay. Our web address is, for the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, is the acronym, BORDC.org. And Defending Dissent is defendingdissent.org. And we keep a news wire up at Defending Dissent Foundation, trying to track repression against dissent is our main focus on there. So folks should check it out.
All right. Well, appreciate your time tonight, Sue. Thanks, and keep up the great work there, fighting the good fight. Appreciate it.
Thanks. It was great talking to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Sue Udry, Executive Director of the Defending Dissent Foundation and Acting Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, groups that will merge soon. And tackling these issues, both in terms of surveillance and other violations of civil liberties here in the U.S.